Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. So the end of August is upon us. Can you believe it? School is about to start. Weather is changing. I'm starting to feel that invitation into the season of fall, which for me is football and flannel shirts and Halloween right around the corner. For me, the fall also means a new year of youth ministry, which I am currently trying to wrap my head around as quick as I can. What programs to experience? What topics will we explore? And there's confirmation this year. 8th and 9th graders will have the opportunity this year to learn about what our church believes, to affirm their baptisms, and to make a confession. The confession part of confirmation is always a little tricky for me. Years ago, when I was a youth director in New Jersey, we had our teens write a statement of faith about what they believed about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, which we do here. And for the most part, that first year, I got back these statements that sounded like they were written by a 4th-century monk who had lived in a cloistered monastery somewhere in eastern Turkey. I read statements like, "I believe in Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life and died for our sins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, created heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who died for our sins." Now, don't get me wrong, what they were writing was great. But I knew them, and that wasn't really them. They were telling me what they thought I wanted to hear, instead of telling me what they believed about Jesus right now and how that belief impacted their lives right now. And so we changed the title of the exercise to Statement of Faith / Journey of Faith, hoping they would affirm the basic tenets of our faith tradition that we hold dear, yet at the same time inviting them to explore how they understand and experience God and Jesus and the Spirit right now, today. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is asking those sort of questions to his disciples. "Who do the people say that I am?" The disciples respond, "Well, the people say maybe John the Baptist or one of the prophets of old who has come back." But Jesus digs a little deeper. "Well, that's great. But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, who seems to more often than not be the one to speak and act first, without maybe a healthy pause, showing a little restraint and first thinking through the question, jumps at the chance to answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now make no mistake, this is a bold statement that Peter makes. This took guts. It took faith for him to say. And Jesus' subsequent affirmation of Peter's confession tells us this was a sacred moment for him. This was special. But it doesn't last very long. Our reading today ends at verse 20 and saves the next section of Matthew 16 for next Sunday's lectionary reading. So, a brief preview. Following today's scripture, Jesus starts telling his disciples that he will soon undergo great suffering and be killed, and on the third day rise again. And Peter hears this, he takes Jesus aside, he puts his foot down, and he says, Lord, this cannot happen. This must never happen to you. Which then causes Jesus to turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind on human things and not divine things. Get behind me, Satan. Well, that didn't take very long. In 6 verses, Peter goes from being the rock on which Jesus will build his church to be called Satan. It's a pretty short turn of events. The glow coming off Peter's face from Jesus' prior affirmation had barely worn off. What I'm coming to love about these stories, about the Bible, is how they are true, is how it is true. But not in the sense of how it may have literally happened exactly as it was written thousands of years ago, but in the sense that these stories point beyond themselves to truths that happen in us individually and as a community. These stories are true in a different sort of way, but they are true nonetheless. And so what do I mean by this? A couple of examples. In the book of Genesis, Abraham leaves home and he starts out on a journey, just like we do. Jacob wrestles with God, just like we will many times throughout our life. Joseph is betrayed, like we probably have been, and we will be. Jesus spends time in the wilderness, alone and lonely, and God feels distant, which will happen to us at some time, if it already hasn't. And Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? This question is not only meant for Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, but it's asked of us today. This story is true, and that it points beyond itself and directs that question right at us, individually and as a community. Who do you say that I am? And my answer to that question has changed a lot over the years. And it's probably going to keep on changing a little bit. And if I'm honest, it's probably also been a different answer when I'm making a confession here in church compared to out in the world amongst friends who, for the most part, don't view Jesus from the lens that we do. It's far easier out there to say that he was a really really nice guy, or not say much of anything, instead of the Son of the living God, the Messiah. I wonder if Jesus scolds Peter, because in the end, it's far easier to confess that Jesus is Messiah with our lips than it is with our actions, right? I find this to be very true. When I pause for a moment and I look back on myself years ago, and what I believed about Jesus as Messiah. In short, I believed fantastical things about him. So I believed that while on earth, he walked on water, he performed miracles, he turned water into wine, he miraculously fed thousands, he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth. All good and fine. But now when I look back on myself many years ago, I now say, good for you, Joel. Good for you. Because those belief statements that I made about Jesus, they were fairly easy to make. They didn't really ask anything of me. They didn't challenge the way that I lived. They didn't impact how I related to my neighbors, how I used my finances, how I cared for the earth, where I was investing my time and energy, or how well I was learning to forgive. They didn't ask anything of me. This question that Jesus asks his disciples is posed to each of us too today. Who do you say that I am? What does it mean to us that Jesus is Messiah? This week, I encourage you to take a few minutes and to write an answer down, even if it's just a couple sentences. Try and answer that question. You might find that it has changed from a year ago. It most likely has changed from 5 or 10 years ago. I hope it has. So let me give it a shot. How do I answer this question today? Jesus, he points to, he reveals, he exemplifies the limitless and unending love of God. In the manner in which he lived and spoke of God, a God who loves and forgives, who is with us and for us, he invites us to accept the way we have been accepted by God. In the way in which he cared for the poor or for those who were bearing the burdens that life can bring, he described a God with a heart that deeply cares. In his compassion for those who were suffering, he described a God whose heart breaks when we too are suffering. And the way in which he welcomed and accepted the outsider, those that society had declared unworthy, he affirmed the sacredness of each human being. And the way in which he broke down walls that culture and religion defined who was in and who was out, he affirmed the image of God that is found in each human being. And in his death and resurrection, he showed that we belong to God, and that God is in the business of breathing new life into areas where death has taken over. Now, it's a brief first draft. It's a little short, needs a second and third draft. But this confession I just made, it asks something of me. It's fairly easy to make a statement about Jesus being the Messiah, but it's much harder to articulate what that means and how it impacts how we live today. 3 Saturdays ago, I was down in North Carolina on vacation when word started to break about all that was happening in Charlottesville, Virginia. And a little tension built up in me. Knowing that I needed to be on vacation that moment, yet still wanting to be here with you, my community of faith, so we could talk about this, we could wrestle with it, so we could pray, so we could sing, so we could grieve, we could also hope. What I believe about Jesus as Messiah has a lot to say regarding what happened in Charlottesville and about racism and white supremacy. For I believe the manner in which Jesus spoke and acted and described God, He exemplified the sacredness of each human being, regardless of skin color and ethnicity and sexual orientation or socioeconomic status. And that belief in Jesus as Messiah, it asks something of me. It does not allow me the opportunity to be passive. My understanding of Jesus as Messiah impacts how I believe I am called to live and love my neighbors today. And so what does it mean for you that Jesus is Messiah? Because how we answer that question will directly impact who we are to be individually and as a community of faith moving forward. In the second half of our gospel reading, Jesus says that he will give Peter and his church the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus gives his church great authority and great power. And this church can bring new life and freedom and justice and liberation and hope. And at the same time, it can do the complete opposite. Confessions and statements of faith and creeds can sometimes feel as if they are meant to be a way to stroke God's ego or tell Jesus how great we think he is. No. Instead, they are a way to invite us into a life where we live into God's power and God's love together. So who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us. That is a really good question, isn't it?